We have to talk about our show.
Okay.
Who are we? And what do we do?
Ha! I am Martha Madrigal.
And I'm Charles Tyson Jr. We are the hosts of Full Circle,
the podcast.
You are a beautiful white trans woman.
I will take that. Of a certain age. And you are a gorgeous black cis pan man who has shared my life for 10 years.
And we're engaged. I put a ring on it.
Yeah, you did put a ring on it. It's a pretty ring, too.
Now we have a podcast.
Yeah, there's not much we don't talk about here.
It's true. We talk about LGBTQ issues, headlines of the day. We talk about fun things, too, like movies and music and television and pop culture.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about what it is to be black in America and what it is to be trans in America and how those things intersect and collide. And
child, it gets interesting. And you can check us out every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. Because once again, we're Charles Tyson Jr. and Martha Madrigal, and this is Full Circle,
the podcast. Are we done now?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot.
We are the weirdos in this
room. I get soft like a Santa snubble. Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble.
Sam. Wow.
Hi, everyone. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot. And today we have a really fun episode. We're going to be discussing cattle. Cattle being the cow, ox.
Bovines.
And what else?
Ox, cows, bulls, and oryx, which is where they all
is that how from. That's pronounced?
Oryx, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
that's spelled with an
the word,
A.
Like ox, O-X, mm-hmm. And oryx, which is A-U-R-O-C-H-S.
Mm-hmm.
That they come from some of the same like etymology,
uh-huh.
Which is why it sounds like it would be O-X or, you know.
Right,
I guess reading it, you don't know, but sounding out, they sound the same, ox and oryx.
Right,
and
right.
Oryx is both plural and singular, like an oryx or a herd of oryx.
I'm really excited to talk about this because cattle is so cattle, specifically everything we just listed, is so important in humanity. It makes sense that it would be sacred to ancient people and even modern people.
Exactly, like, because like the cow or the cattle, the bovine creature, has like worked its way into every facet of our life and become part of human culture from some of the earliest times of the bovine creatures that we're talking about today, because the cattle that mm-hmm. we know of, that like we get dairy cows and stuff from, as well as like the zebu, so like the big one in India that they
right,
generally
yes.
worship, these are both
descendants
of aurochs. We domesticated aurochs and bred for certain traits,
okay,
and
so
things like that, and we created what you know of when you think of a cow. That humans created that from the aurochs.
So,
which is why I'm going to talk about the aurochs a lot, because like it, we literally have evolved along together, and they became a part of our culture as soon as we discovered their existence.
Right. So it starts a little after the paleo whatever period, because the paleo period is before we had cows. It's no, not. Are you sure? Because the diet
is from the Pleistocene.
Okay. Okay.
So that is before or during the Paleolithic era is when the Pleistocene happened. And
okay.
The oryx is part of the megafauna that we saw coming from the Pleistocene.
Uh-huh.
And in
so this is after hunting and gathering. This is when we started farming.
No, this is during hunting and gathering.
Okay.
When we started farming in the very first Neolithic Revolution, which is our first archaeologically speaking. I learned way more about any of this than I ever knew.
I know. That is why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Oh, my God. I'm, like, bursting. Okay. So the Neolithic Revolution was the first instance of us using agriculture.
Uh-huh.
And we had already been alongside the oryx for a long time prior to that. In the Paleolithic.
So they were wild. They were.
we have cave paintings of them from the Paleolithic.
I've seen those.
And so, like, we were already interacting with them. We were already hunting them. We were already, like, they have bones with, like, knife marks in them.
Uh-huh.
And then in the Neolithic revolution, when we were like, agriculture, we can do it.
We're like, hold on, we can raise these bastards.
We can use them to plow our things and, like, through the fields. Because, like, okay, so... Can we talk Hinduism first? Because I have a total theory about this.
Yes, let's please talk Hinduism. Okay. So this was the one I was most excited to do research on.
And, like, the cow is so important to them, right? And the aurochs, there's an Indian aurochs, which is what the zebu, which nowadays, if you look at, like, Hindu iconography and stuff, from current era, it would be a zebu. Mm-hmm. And from back before they made zebus, it would have been an Indian aurochs. Mm-hmm. But either way, they used the aurochs to cultivate that hard land that was probably really hard to till by hand. And I think that is one of the reasons it's such a sacred creature to them. Because like you mentioned when we were talking offline.
I'm
going to
sneeze.
Like,
sorry, keep going.
Not eating their meat means that you get...
Thank you.
You're welcome. You get much more use out of the animal.
Right.
You
know what I mean? And so I read that... In Hindu culture, before the animal was obviously seen as very important, but around 4 BCE is when it officially became like a religious symbol. So it wasn't.
And it's not because of like we want them to plow our fields. It's from no harm. It's or nonviolence. It's from an aspect of nonviolence, which
because
I thought was beautiful.
Why? I know. I'm reading this. I'm just over here like, why? Like, I mean, like I was talking to my husband. You kill one cow, and let's assume you have a deep freeze. And that's going to last you a long time, okay? That'll last you, like, what, 7 months worth of meat. Probably, but you don't kill like a family, right? Okay. You don't kill the cow, and you get milk, and you get cheese, and you get fertilizer. You get...
Their urine has medicinal properties in Ayurvedic medicine, like... I didn't go into...
No, I read that as well.
Yeah, I didn't go into, like, I didn't write down, like, because so many things, like leprosy and cancer, like, and there's no scientific, but at the same time, like, there's all these people who say we use cow urine, and a pregnant's cow urine is even more rich in minerals, which makes sense.
I've heard that before.
Because the body has more of it in there because it's taking care of two lives. So, like, and... Like, it's crazy.
Well,
the
feces can also be used as fire starters and has been used as fire starters for sure. Shit, I mean, if you read Little House on the Motherfucking Prairie, you know that's how they were lighting their fires.
Before we were making pottery, we had drinking horns.
Right, exactly.
And, like noise-making horns.
The cow?
Of the actual horns of the aurochs and then the zebu and the bovine.
The cow truly gives... Everything. It gives its fur, its hide, its its bones, everything. And so I fully understand. I got goosebumps a little bit.
In the ancient world, that's why it was so sacred.
Right, because
and we both came to our own conclusions in the same manner from doing the research.
It literally, I do too. And so I was reading with Hinduism, it almost represents, or it does represent in a way, like a motherly type energy or a mother goddess type energy because it gives and it gives and it gives. And all we do is take.
Not just in Hindu.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me.
There's multiple where... Okay, so...
Nordic. Nordic. I'm sorry. Can we talk about... Were you going to mention that? Because I totally forgot about that.
Yes, I have Adhumla. Adhumla. Which, okay, let's talk about the fact that if you look at Norse names, and then, like, Ymir is the one that Adhumla gave her milk to and nursed him, and then she, while nursing Ymir and helping him grow his body because he was born out of the chaos of the fire and ice, she licked free Buri, who's the first god of the Norse pantheon. Like, and she's a, you know, she's like an earth mother goddess, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Egyptian myth, they have the myth of the heavenly cow, which... It's crazy. So, Nut is their sky goddess.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something else. I'm sorry, please continue.
And she is quite often pictured as a heavenly cow over the edge of the sky. The Milky Way, I think, is said to come from her. But is she the one who was, I think it is Nut that's the one. Okay, so there's this crazy Egyptian creation story involving Nut and how she's the heavenly cow. And essentially, you know, it, through creation, you know, from the sun is born the air, mm-hmm. and the wetness. And then the air and the wetness, who are sibling gods, get together as, you know, partner and become the parents of Nut and her husband. And Nut is the sky goddess and her husband is the earth god. Mm-hmm. And what I read, this is why, like, I've been waiting to, I forgot about this, but telling about the heavenly cow made me remember. So in this creation story, it is depicted as the husband is the earth and he is a man laying down on the earth, and she is like stretched out over him, covered, like dark and covered in stars. Mm-hmm. And betwixt them is their sky father. So gross.
I'm trying to picture it in my head.
Like,
I know. I'm like what?
Think
this
homeboy is laying here, right? This is the guy.
Right.
Right. Here she is. It said that, like, her arms and legs support her over him.
Maybe we'll post this picture on our Instagram. So if you guys are listening and haven't followed us on Instagram at Witches Talking Tarot, you'll get a nice little look of... And he's so small.
I don't know if I should have him laying down because that seems dirty.
Right? Somehow this happened.
Yeah, that's like one of their creation stories. And she's like, she's associated with the heavenly cow because the heavenly cow nourishes the world with her milk. But that's also in another creation myth.
It seems to be in quite a bit.
There's a crap ton of Egyptian creation myths, apparently, mm-hmm. depending on the city, because each city decided they were going to come up with their own creation myth.
Oh, wow.
So there's a bunch of them out there, and so I don't know like what the OG is.
I would love to discuss the cattle story that I wanted to mention in Hellenic mythology.
Yes.
Okay, can we talk about cows and Greek? And why... Why are we like this? That's just what I have to say.
Are you going to talk about Io or?
I'm going to talk about the Minotaur.
I'm
not going to go into the story of the Minotaur, but
also,
how.
So the Minotaur straight up really is kind of what an Oryx looks like as far as.
Okay, but for reals though, the. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? Book talk. No. No.
The Oryx has like. Their horn span is almost 3 feet wide. Like, they're gigantic. Like, a man is, like, as big as Corey.
I love that. That's they're huge. They're gigantic cows. Anyway, so, like, basically, there was this guy, can't remember his name, and he lived near the sea, and he gave offering to Poseidon for a bountiful harvest or whatever you would call it, like, with his cattle, like, raising his cattle, right?
Okay.
Okay. Well, he always gave his favorite cow. Well, he had a favorite bull, and he was like... He didn't want to give that one up. So he gave Poseidon his second favorite. And he's like, he won't know the difference.
And Poseidon was like, bitch.
Poseidon's like, I do know the difference. And you love your fucking cow so much. I'm going to make your wife fall in love with your cow. So this bitch, I feel kind of bad for her actually because.
He's a king, isn't he? No.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe he was.
Okay, anyway, keep talking.
So I feel. Kind of bad for the wife because, I mean, just imagine just you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're overcome with this lust for your dad's cow. Don't imagine that. But like, I wonder if she was like, what's happening to me? Or if she was just like, fuck it. You know what I mean? So basically, this woman is so enamored with this bull that she decides she's going to spend some time creating a fake bull. Oh my God, by the way, fake bulls, that's the Christian thing, like the okay, but anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to get off.
They permeate all the places.
They really do.
Yeah, because but it, they're part of human culture.
So like, she gets inside the fake bowl, and I know it's a myth, but I don't know how this would work. So she gets inside the fake cow, and the bull has sex with the cow. So, like, in my head, I'm like, is it, like, one of those deers, you know, like, people do that with deer? But then at the same time, how is she fitting into, like, it just, Greek mythology.
She got her a stool.
A stool, maybe? I didn't even.
High enough up.
Right? I'm like, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, she ends up pregnant by the bull. And, you know, everybody's like, what? How would that happen? That doesn't make any sense. Well, Poseidon made it happen.
Yeah.
Poseidon made it happen. And she gives birth to this baby Minotaur, and they're like, oh my god, he's a monster, put him away. But I don't know if you saw the meme that was like, the Minotaur, ah, it's a monster, it's hideous, what the baby Minotaur looks like, and it's like the picture of like the cutest baby cow you've ever seen.
I have not seen that meme, but what I'm sitting here thinking is, okay, after school special time, kiddos, you absolutely biologically probably couldn't get pregnant by a cow. Or by a bull, but at the same time, like, you don't actually have to do the deed. You just have to come in contact with the seed. So, kiddos, if you didn't know,
don't have sex with cows.
Yeah.
Or horses, like, or either.
Don't let them on you.
Like, oh, my God. Well, you say that, but I'm like, that's somebody's job, Amber. They have to collect that shit.
Well, that is not what I meant. I meant, like, Tijuana kind of don't let that happen. Because I want to say that physically it's humanly impossible, but Tijuana. So I can't
Who's
say
Who's Tijuana?
That. Not who, where. In Tijuana, Mexico. That is my mental association with Tijuana, is the donkey show.
Yeah, but nobody gets pregnant there.
Well, I know, and that's why I said biologically it's not possible, but I want to say it's physically impossible for that to fit.
Oh, but it's not.
And I know that because of Tijuana, and I wish I didn't. And anyway, we're not talking about donkeys. We're talking about bulls, so don't fuck one. But this guy's wife did.
But this guy, yeah, I love, put that on a t-shirt. Or that's the advertisement for the fucking episode. We're talking about bulls. Don't fuck one, but this guy's wife did. Find out who on this episode of Witches Talking Tarot.
Oh, that is the kind of laugh I needed today.
But so also, anyway. Also in Hellenic culture, there is a...
But the Minotaur was born, and there's like, he gets put in the maze, right?
He does. He gets put in the labyrinth, and he, like, eats people, right? I feel okay, so... But the thing is, okay. But I'm just going to say, headcanon for Maddie. Maybe it's my book talk. I don't think he's a bad... No, you're remembering, right? Okay. You are. But it may... Okay. And his only friend...
She was like,
it was Icarus.
He flew too close to
I know. Icarus and him lived on the same island. But, like, okay, so the story of the Minotaur actually breaks my heart, because that was just a baby. Yeah. He was just.
Like, what if he wasn't, like, actually half bull, but really just, like,
sloth from the Goonies?
Like, yeah, one of them genetic disorders. And they were like, oh. This is because Poseidon didn't right. get my best bull?
That bitch, ugly. Like, yes, I could see them doing that, though, being I'm like, sorry. Oh my god, it's my fault.
I mean, fuck, Hera yeeted her own kid.
I know. But, like, I do feel sorry for the Minotaur, because he didn't ask to be born that way. He was judged by the way he was born. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, he's a bad guy. You know, he, like, killed people because he was in them. What the fuck would you do?
He was just doing his job.
Right, exactly. But then there's Helios.
If he didn't eat the offerings given to him, then the whole system of that fucking, that thing would have come down. I don't agree with it, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pro-Minotaur eating people.
I'm over here like, there's a book. I know there's a book out there about a sexy Minotaur.
Right, right there it, because he would have gotten in trouble if he just had his own harem.
Right, exactly.
He had to eat him. It was his job. He was just doing his job. He was playing his part. We all have a part to play.
So I'm there's sorry. Also...
I'm lighthearted this because it makes me sad.
It does. So there's also Helios in Greek mythology, and he owns or he watches over a herd of immortal cows. Do you know...
Love that.
He does.
That goes along with other,
And Odysseus tried to, like, fuck around and find out, and that just goes on into a whole other story. But Heliozones.
Helios is the sun god, right?
Yes, the sun god.
Right.
It all goes
because, like, okay, so I read in some Egyptian lore, but I couldn't find, like, enough because it's, like, really old. Might not have been Egyptian. My bad. Maybe it was Zoroastrian. Maybe it was Assyrian. Really old lore about this guy who was the sun, the bull of the sun god. Mm-hmm. And essentially, like, there was a tale, but not, like, I couldn't find anything more than just that, like, this one guy had his, the sun god had his, you know, was pulled across the sky by mm-hmm. a bull.
But right, so, yeah, which, I've heard that.
Yeah, like, and that makes sense because the association of the sun god being pulled by a chariot in a lot of different lores is mm-hmm. out there, right? So a bull makes just as much sense as anything mm-hmm. else, right? Mm-hmm. Especially since if you think about from the beginning of our culture, the bovine, the cattle, the oryx was important to us. It makes sense that this creature mm-hmm. helped move the sun throughout the sky and helped the day progress because it helped agriculture happen, mm-hmm. right? Because they could pull the plow and they could make the things happen.
And the fertilizer. And
they could, exactly. And they were the fertilizer. So even before agriculture, I bet everywhere that they followed these creatures had rich food sources because wow. they were pooping as they moved along.
So I have a question.
They were fertilizing the ground naturally.
I have a question for you, Amber. So reading this and doing all this research on this, have you gained a more insightful perspective on the cow, or maybe a more, I don't want to say more respect, because I feel like I respect all animals equally except orcas.
I discovered much more interest. Okay, so here's a misconception in America. We are taught, right? And I think this is probably somewhere from PETA, mm-hmm. eventually, like when you get back to it. It's probably an animal rights group that taught us this. Mm-hmm. But we are taught that the reason that we in America eat cows and chickens mostly mm-hmm. is because these are the stupid animals, so we were able to easily domesticate
I'm
them.
I'm sorry, it makes me so sad.
Farming. But that's so
it's not true. It's not true. As someone who raised a turkey, I can tell you, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but as someone who has raised a turkey and have family that raised chickens, these are not stupid animals. They are so smart. They maybe pigs, I want to say they're stupid, but they're not. They're smart. They're smart.
They are so smart. And like the oryx, I have such a respect for it because mm-hmm. like it's been part of human culture mm-hmm. since we started recording human mm-hmm. culture. Mm-hmm. That speaks to me of how important this creature was mm-hmm. to ancient man, okay? Mm-hmm. And it truly was, because at the beginning of the episode, we talk about all those things that the cattle give us, mm-hmm. and the same can be said for the oryx. Like, mm-hmm. when one of the oldest settlements of humanity is, like, I can't pronounce it, but it starts with a C, and it is from, like, one of the earliest ages, and they literally had oryx's heads on the wall.
Oh, wow.
And oryx and cattle in general, so cow, bull, ox, mm-hmm. the oryx, they're all, in the old religions, they're associated with power, sexual potency, and sexual prowess.
Well, in abundance as well, because they just...
Fertility
and
not
the...
just with making more of themselves mm-hmm. and the milk helping, but they helped us
grow
make
food.
The land.
Yes.
They helped us fertilize the land. They helped mm-hmm. us plow the land and make it arable in places where otherwise food didn't grow. I mean
spiritually speaking, it makes so much sense as why a lot of, like, Hinduism, a lot of Hindus are vegetarian. And I absolutely get it.
Well, and spiritually speaking, it explains why there are cosmic cows involved in so many different
Everything.
Religions.
Yeah.
And not just cosmic cows, but, like, I prefer the cosmic cows because once you get down to Earth, there's, like, the sacred cows that be sacrificed, and that makes me sad.
That used to be a thing in Hinduism, actually, before it was recognized. Yes,
well,
before they were like, wait, what are we doing?
You know, and back when the Hebrews still practiced witchcraft, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. before the Old Testament, they would sacrifice... cattle, not en masse, but they would, like, here's the thing. So back to Helios, right? So Veles is also associated with cattle, and Veles is the god of the underworld and the waters, but he herds not just the cattle, but also the souls down in the underworld. He has a herd of magical cattle that he herds in the underworld. That, if you listen to our Yarrilo episode, there are some stories about Yarrilo tending them as he grew up, those specific cattle that we talk about, right? So there's this association of cattle with the boundary between life and death, mm-hmm. with both the Helios story.
Well, you say that, yeah, because with Helios, he said, if anybody hurts my cattle, well, then I'll take the sun to the underworld and shine it on the dead and forget all you bitches. You know, yeah. Like, so that goes really, right. That just goes, yeah, hand in hand.
No, and I was starting to get there, but then, like, I went off on how special the oryx are, I think, and I just really love this animal. Like,
I do too. I was talking about it with my husband, yeah, and he told me a funny story. It's not really funny. It's not silly. It's not funny, but you'll get it when you hear it. So there are these Hindu extremists who, like, guns and cars, like extremists, and they will just stand outside and protect cows. And I fucking love it. I love it. And he's like, no, Maddie, you don't understand. These are extremists. They've got machine guns. They've got, like, all this.
No, sir. You don't understand. The killer whales are attacking boats. Let's keep the cows out.
Right? Exactly. I'm like, are they really?
No, but they need to know that people don't all suck. Like,
right.
The whales don't know that, but the cows, at least a portion of them know.
Yeah, they're like protecting them. Yeah. Well, and I also read in India that there are some places throughout India, not all of it, where it is illegal to sell cattle, or I'm sorry, cow meat, slaughter. Burgers, yes. Slaughter. The only thing that is not legal in India is they won't persecute you if you eat meat, mm-hmm. but where are you going to get it? Right, I mean, they exactly. can't sell it.
Well, and what I love is there's a lot of surrounding areas that have mostly given up mm-hmm. the use or the slaughtering of cattle mm-hmm. out of respect because they wound up having large Hindu populations mm-hmm. move there.
That's sweet.
And so, like, Hinduism is literally spreading peace, and that's a fucking beautiful
thing like to take away. It's like 80%.
So don't think about their extremists. Like, they're extreme pieces.
Right?
They're not pacifists.
I love Hinduism. I can't help it.
But they're extreme pieces.
Right. No, they really are.
They really are. But, like, here's the beautiful thing about the whole, like, so there's the cows have this association with the underworld, and, like, the Hebrews knew it, and they used a cow as they had to sacrifice a sacred red cow to cleanse somebody who came in contact with the dead.
Oh, wow.
Which is gross, like, from the standpoint of those poor cows. But witchcraft is what it is. Just seeing if, like, my ancestors were going to smite me down for saying that about the
animals. Everybody got quiet and looked around.
But they didn't, or they're already smiting. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, the Celts had a ritual with bulls because the Celts also had held the cattle in a sacred regard, mm-hmm. but they also knew that the cattle were associated with the boundary between worlds, right?
Why do you think that is?
Well, first I'm going to say the gross thing.
Sorry,
they did,
sorry.
Which was they would sacrifice a white bull, and somebody would climb inside and spend the night in there mm-hmm. to divine about the next king. But why do I think that is with the cattle? Because they eat the grass that the dead are in,
mm-hmm.
and they produce everything needed for life by eating what the dead are giving them. And I think that's what the
ancient I get that. It's the circle. Exactly. Yes. The circle of life. Yes. Yeah.
I really do. Because, like, there's so much beauty. Okay. So, guys, Amber's going to do one of those things real quick.
I'm going to set my microphone down and get a drink while you do your thing.
So, if you look up the oryx, you might see a bunch of articles now that say, oh, the prehistoric oryx is coming back from extinction and beginning to walk the lands of Europe again. It is not the oryx. It's the tauros. T-A-U-R-O-S. which is
back go Toros. Reading.
Yes, sorry. Right. Ooh, it's cold in here.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
I know.
I actually have to look up what this cow looks like, so go ahead.
No, you're good. And so I just need you guys to understand it's not the Oryx. Everybody keeps saying the Oryx is back. No, they went and they tried to backbreed. So they took all these animals that looked most like Oryx that were their descendants of Oryx, right? And then they tried to backbreed them. So they tried to breed them back into what Oryx used to be. And they came up with a creature called that they named a Tauros. And that is what's now moving across Europe. And that's a beautiful thing because it's
that's
helping.
That's an antidepressant. How do you spell it? Oryx.
A-U-R-O-C-H-S.
Okay, I see.
Okay. So the Oryx is so the Tauros are coming back across the European landscape, right? And one thing that they've been trying to do in Europe for like the past at least 20, 30 years, maybe longer, is they're trying to rewild Europe. And I think that's beautiful, right? And they're trying to see how these animals interacted with each other without human involvement, which I'm sure you guys all know, I also think that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the Tauros going out there is helping rewild Europe. And they caught, this is so beautiful, guys, they caught on infrared camera, because they're following this horde of Tauros that's moving across like Poland or Moravia or something like that. They caught this herd of Tauros moving into a defensive semicircle because they had a pack of wolves that were coming up and aggressing. So the big bulls are on the outside of the semicircle, and inside the semicircle are the calves and the cows.
Like elephants.
And, yes. And wild horses, including a foal.
Really? They could protect them.
They believed that back in the day before we made the... And the Oryx only went extinct in the 1600s, guys.
Okay. Like the dodo bird.
Exactly. Like they're relatively... The last Oryx was a female that died in a Polish forest. It was like Jakartan Forest or Jakato Forest. I don't know. It started with a J and it was J-A-K. And I didn't write it all down because I knew I wasn't going to read it anyway. So mm-hmm. What was the point in writing it? But anyway, it was J-A-K something forest. And she died. It was either 1627 or 1672. But so they're like recently deceased, which means they've been a part of our culture for like...
centuries.
Most of our written culture, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But like... the Tauros doing this, like they believe that this is ways that they acted out in the wild. And now they're seeing that that really is a thing. And that really the whole like cooperation between the different species of mm-hmm. wild animals happening. And I think that's beautiful because I always thought that that's what it was. And now like nature's showing us like, yeah, when you stop poisoning the land and being dicks, we can just
be.
Yeah, like I just thought it was beautiful.
I have a question for you. Yes. Buffalo are not cattle.
No.
What are buffalo? Because I was.
Buffalo and bison are related because I accidentally.
Because I was wondering.
Buffalo or bison to ox, and Corey looked at me like I was an asshole. And I was like, my bad, because they look so much alike.
They do look alike. So are they their own thing then?
Yeah, which would. Be a great episode.
It would be a great episode. My mother-in-law lives down the road from a buffalo ranch, and they're big. They're fucking big, y'all.
They are. They're scary when you like, because you know there's bison out in Prairie State Park, mm-hmm. and we used to take the girls there a lot when they were little.
Yeah, I hear they will fuck your shit up.
They will, and like we've been out there like walking the prairie.
Uh huh.
And then there's the herd. And right. You're supposed to stay away from them.
So oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, like, and well, there's like, no fences between you and Prairie State Park. Like,
right.
And if there are fences, it's not enough to keep that dude through.
Like, no, I mean, they're big as shit, dude. So, like, moose is not related to a cattle at all.
Yeah, I have no idea what a moose is. But I bet moose and elk are related. I don't know. But
which would be related to a stag.
Would that be?
Yeah, I would think staggish.
Okay, who guys, knows? Season three is the season of the animals.
It is, because we've like, been talking about.
Yeah, we got so much more planned. But yeah, I think that, yeah, I'm sorry.
So I think I, in conclusion, I think that I learned a lot more. Not really learned a lot more about the cow, but put more things into perspective. That being said, you know, I read about Hinduism a couple years ago, and I learned that the reason why they don't kill the cow, but refreshing my research that I had done previously, I'm over here like, damn,
well,
like, I don't want to eat them anymore.
You know, and so, like, I have a question for you. Like, do you differentiate between, like, the sacredness of bulls over the sacredness of cows? Or do you just see the sacredness of cattle as the same thing?
Okay, so here's my thing. I think they're both equally sacred. But for me personally, when it comes to bulls, I associate them more with just as important in spirituality, but they're more strength. They're more the tilling of the earth, you know what I mean? The pulling of, like, things that need pulled. They have the meat and the hide. So to me, they are just as important spiritually as well as physically. But the milk cow kind of gets most of the, you know, love, I guess.
Fair enough. I got you.
Because, I mean, they do. They pull. They used to pull. Well, I mean, horses did that too. But they would the pull the plow. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. You need a strong ox or a strong bull.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And bulls absolutely protect cows as well.
Yeah.
They'll protect them. Yeah. So I think, for me, the bull is a symbolism of strength and protection and the god. Right. Whereas the cow is all
fertility
and nurturing. Abundance, nurturing, and yeah, the goddess.
Yeah, which makes sense because, I mean, like, really, it makes mm-hmm a lot of sense, especially from the aspect of, like, the cow's milk nurturing us from, mm-hmm, like, the get-go.
Well, and like you mentioned with the toros, the bull is protecting them. The bulls are protecting them. So, like, and I'm excited to talk about the stag episode with the deer and things like that because I just, I have actually been.
I used to be. Girl,
nay. No, I want to mention this. I guess I'll mention this on the podcast because I was going to talk to you about it. Yeah. So, like, lately I've been praying for strength. And while I've been doing that, I've been praying too. I'm just going to say God because it's a nameless God. My personal belief is there is an ultimate masculine energy and ultimate feminine energy that come to different people and reveal themselves to different people through different deities with whatever connection you need at that time. So I've been praying a lot to, I'm going to say God because it's nameless right now, asking for strength and for protection. So you say that and I'm like, the bull. Sorry, it's just,
no.
I work magic, I work with the goddess. But right, when I need that strength and I need that protection, I end up calling upon or talking to or praying to the god. So I really use, I think, before I thought I worked mostly and only with goddesses, but now I'm like, no, I've been working with that balance this whole time. And sorry, that just made me, because
no,
I wanted to mention it anyway, and I feel like the bull and the cow conversation brought that in. Yeah.
No, I love that. Something I forgot, but I wrote down and I have to tell you about because, like, it's crazy. So Ra is the father of Hathor, mm-hmm, and there is, there's something, it's in the, okay, something in, like, the Battle of the Heavenly Cow or something like that is what it's called. And Ra is getting older, and so people are no longer, like, they're rebelling against him. So he decides to send his daughter Hathor, mm-hmm, down to Earth to smite the people and kill off the people. She, mm-hmm, is the fiery eye of the sun, I think? Sun eye. The protective, mm-hmm, fiery protective sun eye is, mm-hmm, what they referred to her as, right? And so she goes down and she slaughters a bunch of people in Egypt. And then Ra feels bad about it. But Hathor, she's still like this bloodlust thing going on, right? And I, mm-hmm, think she has the face of a cow, which is why it was brought up when I was looking into cows and, mm-hmm, mythology. Mm-hmm. So Ra is like, shit, I want her to stop killing people. So he goes and he dyes a bunch of beer red and puts a bunch of red beer out in Egypt to satisfy her bloodlust. And I was like, wow, that sure do sound like some of the plagues of Egypt.
It does, doesn't
like,
it?
And I just had to tell you about that because it I was does. Like, that sure do sound like some of the plagues of Egypt.
It,
like
it does. It the does. The river ran red.
It did. And like something that I learned about the oryx, which I think also led to, because you said, I think at one point you had asked me about like why I think they're associated with spirituality. The oryx has a heart bone.
Really?
Yeah. Not every animal has a heart bone. Like we have this intense structure at our hearts, which I didn't know about until I was researching for this episode, because I was like, there's a bone in their heart. What mm-hmm. the fuck? So I read about it. They have an os cordis, and it is a bone in their heart, which people used for magic. And it made me think of like the wishbone in turkeys and stuff like that. But like they thought it was magical, mystical, and gave medicinal properties. So like they'd make a tea with it, but like there would be special nutrients in that
bone. I'm sure there would be. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And so, like, it's crazy to me, like, how much of cattle we have always, as humanity, depended on. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we decided on this episode.
I'm so glad you suggested it. Yeah, it was. And it's going to become, like, a series on livestock because there's so much about cattle, as you can see, like, you guys don't even know how
right.
much
well,
I have
and you say
that I didn't say.
You say like livestock, dying. And we don't even just mention or we don't even just mean cows. We mean like sheep and goats.
We're gonna get there. Like season three is the season of the animals, guys. Like, just saying, like it's just the way it's been. It's the way it's working out, and I think it's a beautiful thing.
I think so too. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe someone needs to hear these things.
Yeah, so like, I don't know, if you aren't already, go ahead and like and subscribe so that you can get notified whether you're on YouTube or a podcast platform of when we have new episodes coming out so you can see what Beyond Animals we're talking about this season.
Right. And if you haven't subscribed to our Patreon, you totally should. Speaking of Patreon, hey Melissa.
Hey, Death by DVD.
Hey, Victoria.
Hey, Pam.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. We're also on Instagram at Witches Talking Tarot and the X at Witches Talking Tarot or at Classiest Witches.
And Facebook at Witches Talking Tarot. And we haven't made it to Threads yet, but we'll get there eventually, y'all.
Thanks for sitting with us for a spell.
Hey, Ann Barner. Hey, Karen Beatty. We need a promo, you know, like where we talk about what we do on our podcast.
On our sugar-coated murder podcast? Like how we love to bake and talk about murder?
That's what we need to talk about.
There you go.
I think we've talked about it. Y'all find us on all your favorite listening apps.
Stay sweet.
And don't murder.
Because if you kill people,
we will talk about you.